Romans chapter 5. One way or the other. Okay, well, did you ever take we all took English in high school. And then sometimes you have to take foreign languages. And the thing I hated was conjugating verbs. I just hated it. I didn't care about it. I didn't really want to know about it. But you know, in the Word of God, there's a great verb, and it's called, and it's to be. And that's a singularly important verb in just about every language. I think except for Hebrew, right? Sort of. So anyway, it is conjugated, you know, I am, I was, he or she is, you are, we are, or were, and so on. And it refers to our being, our existence, to an action or position or its state of being, and, you know, more. So that kind of thing goes on. But let's look in the Word and see things that we are and were. So we're going to start in chapter 5 of Romans, verse 6. And it says, for when we were, which is past tense, right? When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And that without strength means, you know, we were screwed. We were dead in sins. We were condemned. But God didn't care. He sent Jesus Christ, and he died for us who were ungodly. So that's great that it's in the past. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. You know, if somebody was rotten and mean, you would say, well, they're better off being dead, right? But actually, that's what we all were before we got born again. And, you know, then it says, for a good man, some would even dare to die. And, you know, sometimes people will, you know, give their lives to save others, right? Or in an attempt. Then it says in verse 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, were past tense, we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that's kind of saying a similar thing as it said before in a little bit of a different way. But, you know, it confirms and emphasizes that even though we were no good, God sent his son to die for us. Much more than being now, being is another form of that word to be, right? It's in the present tense, being justified or made righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. We're going to be saved in the future. We're going to be delivered from God's judgment and the wrath that is to come, which, you know, people read prophecies of the future and they get all freaked out about it. And, you know, it's kind of crazy, but we don't have to worry about that, do we? Because we're already saved, we're already born again, and we're going to be with God and Jesus Christ during that period of time. So, and then it says, for if when we were enemies, past tense, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So, we were enemies, and we were, at the moment of the new birth, reconciled, and we shall be, absolutely in the future, delivered and saved by his life, because we will have eternal life. I thought it was great when Johnny was praying, he talked about the millions and zillions of years or light years. I thought that was pretty cool the way he said that, of eternity. You know, because sometimes we just have such a short view of things. You know, sometimes we live from minute to minute or hour to hour. Sometimes it's good to live, you know, day to day, you know, make every day count. We don't always do that either. But rarely do we have that long-term view that God has, right? I mean, but we have eternity with him. And we were saved from the wrath, and we will be saved for all eternity. Let's go back to chapter 5, verse 1. It says something else here. It says, therefore, and therefore, you have to go back and read chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, but therefore, being justified, again, in the present tense, being justified or made righteous by believing, faith or believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's in the present tense, so we are at peace with God. You know, and that, once you're born again, that's forever. We always are at peace with God. We have that peace with him. There's no enmity between us and God anymore because Jesus Christ already took it out of the way. He removed that barrier between us and God. In the Living Bible, it says, so now, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith in his promises, we can have real peace with him because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. That's a pretty interesting translation. But we have been, you know, it's a done deal. We are justified by believing. And the result is we have peace with God by our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9, it said that we are justified by Christ's blood. It's kind of interesting when you read in the Old Testament and the importance of blood. You know, 3,000 years ago plus, God put in Leviticus that life is in the blood. You know, and today, whenever you're sick, the first thing they do is check your blood, right? The importance of it. But then it says that there's no atonement for sin except by blood. And that's why we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the result is we are saved from the wrath to come, the judgment. What a great thing. But that blood is so important, isn't it? And it represents life. So let's go to 1 John. First John chapter 3. And this has to do with our position. In verse 1, it says, behold. And when you see the word behold, it means pay attention. They could have translated paid attention, I guess. But it's a word that means behold. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We are sons of God. We can be called sons of God. It represents our station in life, our position. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's what we are. We're sons, or if you want to say sons and daughters, because it's an all-inclusive noun. Some place it talks about sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters now. What a great thing. You know, whenever you have a position in life, you know, it's sometimes it's a big deal, sometimes it's not a big deal, right? But if you were made a president of a company or you were elected to a position, you know, you say, well, I am that thing. Well, we are God's children. How much better is that than anything else we could possibly be in this life, on this earth? There's nothing better, there's nothing higher, there's nothing more important than being a son of God. How great is that? So it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. You know, it's not something we look forward to in the future. We look forward to the new body and being with the Lord and that eternal life that he's promised us. But right now we are his sons. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, because we know what we shall be when we read in other places in the Word of God. We shall be like him. But we know that when he shall appear, Jesus Christ shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And how is he? Well, he's perfect, and he has that spiritual body, and you know, he's all the things that it talks about after the resurrection. You know, that he had that spiritual body and he could go places and do things. And, you know, again, Johnny talked about the light years. I just have been reading a book about the guys that first went to the moon, not walked on the moon, and everybody forgets about it. But there was a shot to the moon where they orbited the moon 10 times and came back, which preceded going to the moon, and it was really vital and important. And it's a really cool book. But it took them, I forget how many days to get there. They got up to over 25,000 miles per hour traveling through space, and it still took them, you know, a bunch of days to get there, traveling, you know, obviously 24 hours a day. Right? And so that's pretty crazy. And then they were there and they made 10 orbits, which took 2 hours apiece. And every time they went behind the moon, they lost contact with the Earth, which was really scary. And you read about their wives and how nervous they were. And so the coolest part of this book was the astronauts. They thought about when they made their first, or they made the telecast, because they telecast back to Earth. They made one on the journey, and then when they got there, and they wanted to tell people about what they saw, and they said one of the greatest things was to see the Earth rise over the horizon of the moon, and how beautiful it was, and how there was nothing else out in space. It was just dark. The moon was just white and gray and blacks and shadows, and there was no life to it. And then they looked down on the Earth, and it was beautiful, you know. And so then they had this debate over what they should say. And so they asked a couple of people, and this guy, he didn't know what to say. He was a poet or something. So he went to this other guy. And nobody knew what they were going to say, including the guys in Houston. And they came back and they read the beginning of Genesis.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
So what we will be like he is. And, you know, he went through, it took him all that time to get to the moon. And they talk about going to Mars and stuff, but the nearest star is light years away, yet it says that Jesus Christ went through the heavens,
right. Yeah.
To the heaven of heavens to be at God's side. What does that mean? How long did that take? You know, and we'll be like he is. Yeah, there will be no physical restrictions. That's pretty crazy. So, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be in the future. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a great thing to look forward to for the rest of eternity, huh? What a great thing. We shall be, absolutely, at the gathering together like him. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in verse 14 it says, for as many as are, here's that word again, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we've pretty much established that, huh? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we have received it. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if so, we have proof, you know, because that Spirit tells us that we are. And if children, then heirs. We are heirs. You know, that's implied. We are heirs. It's great to have an inheritance. Well, you know, some people get lots of inheritance, some people get no inheritance. You know, but it's pretty interesting when you get an inheritance. It's like, wow, I didn't do anything to get this. It's just given to you. It's like, well, in most cases, you know, you see these movies where the rich guy has all these things and requirements to get the, but most of us, you know, it's just your parents, they have life insurance, they have a will, and they pass away, and you get this, and it's just given to you out of what?
Love.
Out of love, you know? When my wife and I, we pass away, if the Lord doesn't come back, you know, my four boys will split everything equal. They won't get a whole lot, but they'll get a little something, and they'll be blessed, and they'll probably blow it on their kids like we blew our inheritance on our kids for the most part. But, you know, that's cool. But, you know, but we are heirs. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We will be glorified together with him. What a cool thing. We will be glorified together with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. So no matter what we go through in life, it doesn't matter, because it's not even worthy to be compared to what we're going to get. How cool is that? That's amazing. Let's go to Galatians. Chapter 3. In verse 26. It says, for ye are all the children of God by believing, by faith in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, rather. You know, we are all children. This is written to the Galatians. It's written to born-again believers. And they knew who they were. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Greek, Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. For we are all one. We're all equal before God. We're all the same. Nobody has any, well, nobody has any more inheritance than anybody else, right? We all have the same. We all get the same thing. We all get the same Holy Spirit. We all have the same rights and privileges before God. We all have the same gathering together. And nobody's going to get there ahead of anybody else. So we all have the same amount of eternity to share with one another, which is really a cool thing when you think about it. You know, we just have it all. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. All those things that are so important in the world. And remember Paul talking about how he's a Hebrew of Hebrews and a Pharisee and all the other stuff. And he counted it but dung, right? For an excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Well, here it says that there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free, neither male or female. We are all one. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, that's pretty cool. Well, that great promise to Abraham was the Messiah. And it says we're joint heirs with that Messiah, the Christ. Wow. How, you know, if it was me, I wouldn't have given us the same as Jesus Christ got. Because look what he did. But that's how loving God is. He did all the work, and yet we get to enjoy all the benefits, all that inheritance. We get it because of Jesus Christ. How great is that? We are Abraham's seed and are according to the promise. How wonderful. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 6. And because ye are sons, and because you are sons, you believed, you are, you have that position, that standing, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God. And it says through Christ, but it shouldn't be there. But it's an heir of God. How great is that? Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. So now what you're reading through the Word of God, you have to pay attention to the verbs and that verb to be, because it really tells you a lot about who you are and what you are and where you're going to be and what you're going to have. Romans 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, and you know, you go through that, we could read it. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So there it says, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, no, we're not. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things at present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we are more than conquerors. We're sons of God, we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ, and we are more than conquerors. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We are a lot of things. Chapter 1, verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, both theirs and ours. So we're sanctified and we are saints. It's kind of a cool thing to think of yourself as a saint. You know? It's so funny because some people pray to saints. It's kind of hilarious almost, because if they're saints from hundreds of years ago, they're dead. So they can't answer your prayers. And they're not praying to us. And if they did, we couldn't do much for them except pray for them also to God. But anyway, we are called to be saints. Let's go to verse 9. It says, God is faithful, to whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We were, past tense, when we got born again, we were called to the fellowship of his Son. It means the full sharing, right? The full sharing of his Son. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak all the same thing, and that be no divisions, that there be no divisions. There's that to be. So for us, there's to be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And the word judgment means opinion. And our opinions should be based on God's word, shouldn't they? And that's how we should have the same opinions. That we filter everything in life according to the word of God, and we hold fast to that, so that there are no divisions among us. how great. Let's turn to chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Here's something else we are. Chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I know it's in italics, but it's properly supplied and because we need it for English. He is a new creature. So we are a new creature or new creations. When we get born again, he puts his spirit in us and we become a new creation. All things are passed away, all our dirt, all our skeletons, all our whatever we were in the past are put away. They're thrown out, and behold, all things are become new. And every day is a new day for us. Because, you know, whatever we did yesterday doesn't matter. All that matters is that we live for God today. That's all that matters. We don't have to drag all that baggage around with us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. According verse chapter 1, verse 4, it says, well, let's do verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies or in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. We're holy. We are holy and without blame before him in love. How great is that? And chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, you know, through believing. By grace are ye saved, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. You know, we didn't do anything. We didn't earn anything. We didn't accomplish anything. We didn't achieve anything. Nobody was better than anybody else. All we did was believe. And we believed what God said to believe, and we got all those things. We got sonship. We got inheritance. We got the ability to be more than conquerors. We got sanctified. We were made righteous. All that stuff. So when you read the word, just pay attention to what it says, you know, about who we are, what we have come from and where we're going. Those are good things to know, right? That's a good thing to know in life, you know, where you've been, where you're going, and where you're going to get there, or how you're going to get there. So, Father God, we thank you for your love and your grace that you have made us your sons, that we are all equal in your sight, holy and without blame, sanctified and righteous, that we can look to you in every situation, and that you are a loving Heavenly Father, and that you will come to our help and our aid, that you will direct our steps, that your word is a light unto our path, and that we can always look to you, that you will never let us down, because you are a faithful and true God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and how he was so willing to do everything he did for us, and how he was willing to bear all our sins and shed his blood so that we could be whole before you. And we thank you for these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.